Chapter 2. The Investment Floors. The elevator can take you up to the greater heights only if you take positive action by pressing the button. Greatness in life is all about the right choices you make. Olawale Daniel. The Wealth Building Journey. In the realm of personal finance, a one-size-fits-all approach does not exist. It all comes back to the key word, personal. What works for one person might not be the right fit for you. This is especially hard for those who are past the basic financial literacy phase and are already on the path to affluence. We're not going to beat around the bush. You need self-awareness of where you are at, meaning how much is your income and your current net worth. Then you can use strategies aimed at your stage of the wealth building journey, depending on which floor of the wealth elevator you're on and which one you ultimately plan to reach. You want to engage in different tools and behaviors. In this chapter, we'll look at all 5 floors of the wealth elevator, your deployment plan to move up them, and what you're actually trying to achieve as your end goal, the 5 floors of the wealth elevator. The wealth elevator is both a metaphor and a blueprint for financial success. It has 5 floors, from the basement up to the penthouse. Each floor is defined by the portfolio net worth, which is assets minus liabilities and debts you've attained. Each floor also has its own monthly cash flow target, alternative investment plan, investment mindset, portfolio breakdown, accredited investor banking strategy, and tax strategy. For those of you guys listening to this on the YouTube version, and here is the charts, folks. Now, sorry for those of you guys who are listening to this in audiobook form, but again, shoot our team an email at team@thewealthelevator.com, and we can send you out the PDF version for this so you guys can check this out. It's just pretty complicated to go over this in audio form, but basically you can find yourself on this chart in a couple of ways, either from the net worth standpoint, or if you're already been investing in alternative investments, implementing some of the strategies that we're going to be talking about in this book, see where you're at in the monthly cash flow section. But majority of people, most people coming into our ecosystem are going to be new at a lot of these strategies. So start off figuring out what your net worth is by figuring out what is your assets minus all your liabilities. Essentially, if you fire sold everything, the house that you lived in right now, how much cold hard cash would you have at this point? You can use the wealth elevator to determine where you are in your investing journey. Looking at the numbers on the wealth elevator chart, you may feel overwhelmed. Most of our clients are saving at least $50,000 to $100,000 per year. Not everyone is aiming for the penthouse. Some investors in my ecosystem are aiming for just merely floor 3. The basement. Basic living, get your life in order. If you're in the basement, I'm going to be blunt. You are likely a younger person and or need to increase your income to over $100,000 per year. The wealth elevator ecosystem is geared towards those who make a substantial income of more than $100,000 per year. More importantly, the system is more appropriate for those who can save at least $10,000 to $25,000 per year. That's your income minus expenses. For that reason, some of the information in this book won't apply to you yet, but it will inspire you to the next level of wealth. And as a side note, if you check out a lot of the coaching calls that we have on my YouTube channel, this is a big question that I ask a lot of people. I don't care what you make. A lot of folks in our group make multiple 6 figures. Some of the business owners make well over $1 million, but it's all what you spend. Again, this is all personal finance. So what I distill a lot of my coaching to is the income minus expenses. And again, most of the people in our ecosystem are saving $50,000 to $100,000 per year at least, whether that goes to traditional retirement accounts, which are obviously we're going to be trying to get away from and getting it to more direct investments and alternative investments. But all that money is going to increase your net worth. To those of you in the basement, your key focus right now is to budget and to get your life in order. I'm not a huge fan of college in general, but that was how I got a well-paying job, and that allowed me to get the starting principle to acquire properties to invest in. Whatever you do, your goal is to increase your income. A lot of books out there say you can invest with no money down, but that path requires your sweat equity and puts you a few years away from ascending the wealth elevator. In 2022, I hired a health coach. Before that, I never practiced counting calories. I had no idea how much I ate. When I was hungry, I put food in my mouth until the food was gone, or it didn't taste good anymore. Counting calories brought me an awareness of what I was eating. After a few months, I stopped counting calories. I no longer needed to do something that was so tedious just to know my calorie intake. A lot of people think of their money and finances the same way I thought about calories. They have no idea how much they spend or save. They're missing that foundational level of awareness. They need to start by counting their financial calories. To get a handle on your personal finances, you have to spend less than you make. Build your income to outweigh your expenses and understand good versus bad debt. On this floor, you're broke. And although you may have a six-figure salary, you need a little more time to accumulate wealth. But you don't need to stay in the basement for long. Personal finance gift. Want to count the calories of your personal finances? Here's a gift for you. I offer a free fundamental e-course to learn basic financial skills. Go to thewealthelevator.com/noob, spelled N-O-O-B. I'll be honest. Personally, when it came to saving money, I was anorexic. I grew up in a family that preached frugality, so it was ingrained in me. In the later chapters of this book, we will discuss reversing this mindset. But for now, if you're broke, start with this e-course. For most of you folks listening here, maybe you've come from the same financial background that I had. Again, this book is for that first generation multimillionaire. So likely you were brought up in a family that didn't have a whole lot of money. And thus, your parents taught you a lot about saving money and being frugal. I know whenever we went to the restaurants, for example, we never ordered soft drinks because why? We got water. That's free. I fortunately had a lot of these types of habits trained into me. If you're kind of like me, you're more than likely skipping out of the basement. But I wanted to encompass this section here just because you never know who picks up this book. Again, this book is not for the masses like most books out there. It is specifically for high income earners or well-paid working professionals making multiple six figures. By the time you've mastered the basement, you should be able to save $5,000 to $25,000 a year to invest. This, of course, assumes you have a healthy income, over $100,000 a year. If you don't, you will need to increase your income or supplement your knowledge with the plethora of frugality blogs out there that tell you not to spend $6 a day on your daily latte. You may think, oh damn, $25,000 a year. That's a lot of money to save. Most of the beginner investors in our ecosystem save $50,000 to $100,000 a year before starting the Wealth Elevator program. They start on floor one or floor two. Believe it or not, by the time you move up a few floors, you'll be able to save $20,000 a month. Floor one, small investor saving and buying. Floor one is all about acquiring alternative investments and building your monthly cash flow. Your net worth may range between $50,000 to $500,000. Your monthly cash flow might be $0 to $5,000. In 2007, I graduated college and started working as an engineer, and I saved aggressively. In fact, from 2010 to 2013, I mostly lived on company expenses as a traveling employee with no personal residence. Basically, I was homeless. I was able to save almost $100,000 a year. These savings went into down payments for rental properties. I had debt, but it was good debt. I was buying assets, not liabilities, like cars or a primary residence, which isn't the best investment from a total return on investment perspective. You may want to be a bit scrappy with both your income and cutting expenses. You emphasize saving some money for the future to buy rentals, to create cash flow, which will go back into those properties for ongoing maintenance or the consequences of a difficult tenant here and there. But you manage to net $5,000 to $10,000 a year on your starter portfolio. These are basic skills that most of our kids will not have to learn, because as future millionaires, we will likely give our children the wealth elevator advantage to skip over the adolescent stage of investing in little rental properties on floor one. Floor two, accredited investor, high income earner. You're adding to your net worth or net savings in a year as much as some people are making before expenses, at least $50,000 to $150,000. You have a net worth of over $1 million, but you're still a floor below, thinking about living off your passive income forever. Your investment cash flow could be $5,000 to $20,000 per month. You are likely already an investor based on the Securities and Exchange Commission SEC definition, or you may be a high multiple six-figure income earner. Most of my clients start on floor two, and we will work with them to bring them up to floor three and beyond. If you're not at this floor yet, that's okay. This book shares a lot of strategies to minimize the transition from hustle mode in the lower floors to the upper floors. When you reach floor two, your asset allocation mix changes. You have a less of a cash flow need in this phase because you still have an emphasis on ordinary income coming from your job. Although the allure of cash flow as an end goal can't be argued with, on floor two, you should think about delaying the gratification of immediate cash flow for larger equity growth that might need 2 to 5 years to develop, specifically waiting for deals to go full cycle. We talked about this in the past chapter about foregoing cash flow today for bigger equity growth in the future. It's not a hard and fast rule, of course, because based on your own personal situation, your immediate goal might be to quit your day job. If that's the case, you likely put more emphasis on cash flow today, even though that isn't entirely aligned with increasing your net worth. You might value savoring some good years with your young family rather than having $10 million net worth by your golden years. Additionally, you might choose to stay on floor two and do a lot of cash flow deals instead of growing your net worth to reach floor three. The equity growth focus versus cash flow focus chart shows what this is like. It all depends on your priorities for both your current lifestyle and your future needs. This is why we like to build relationships with our investors, listen to their personal needs, and provide a holistic approach to the wealth building journey. For some, quality of life today is more valuable than accelerating their net worth. Floor three, financial independence, zero gravity. On floor three, your net worth ranges from $2.5 million to $9 million. You've hit your monthly cash flow number, $15,000 to $50,000. You could leave your day job entirely and still live in the style to which you've been accustomed. You've done it. You've achieved financial independence, where your passive income more than outpaces your ability to spend it all, even with inflation. Floor three is often the quickest phase to go through because once investors reach 2.5 million net worth, they are primed to blast through the $5 million mark and above. That said, many of our clients are in this stage right now. Some say it can feel like the victory lap on their financial journey, but it can be very scary to venture through this stage. If you do not have peers who have passed through this threshold and are going through it with you, it's hard to dial back the ordinary income or job generating activities of you, your spouse, or both of you. After all, we are all good worker bees who are trained to trade time for money. It's hard to remember that you don't need money, and your money is working harder than you ever could. On this floor, your portfolio is starting to skew based on your long-term vision in terms of cash flow today versus long-term equity growth for your family legacy. You're starting to have a sizable portfolio with more than a dozen or two alternative assets. You're no longer fixated on what any one deal project is doing, as you see all your holdings as a diversified portfolio. You make the same types of investments as you used to, but your portfolio is unlikely to be focused on cash flow. It's more about equity growth. Your viewpoint regarding investment horizons also starts to lengthen. In the lower floors, you look at your portfolio performance and distributions on a month-to-month, then quarter-to-quarter basis. On the third floor, you see your investments on multi-year horizons, or even 5 to 10 year horizons. Because you hang out with other multimillionaires, you think more about the abstract issues of keeping the family legacy that you built going for many generations to come. At this stage, you're also fine-tuning your finances with some tax optimization plays. But overall, you could kick back at this point and be perfectly happy. In other words, if you did not do so on floor two, now's the time to focus on enjoying life, as time and the creation of experience memories is more valuable to you than money. But of course, the wealth elevator doesn't stop here. The fact that you are reading this book says that you want to progress further, or at least curious about what comes next. The penthouse, ultra high net worth. By the time the wealth elevator brings you up to the penthouse, you're living the high life. You have a net worth of $10 million or higher. Your passive income might be $50,000 to $100,000 a month. You have well surpassed the critical mass point. I find that most people are content to consciously stay at $4 million or $5 million net worth. However, you may want to expand past the $10 million stage by making it to the penthouse. Still, you should understand that you can proclaim enough is enough at any point. At this level, every small tweak to your strategy and focus is magnified. You can access better deals and relationship circles, and you're able to go after more asymmetric plays if you want to. To safeguard some of your assets, you can consider currency hedges like gold and other precious metals. You might opt to begin paying down debt that doesn't yield more than 5 to 8%. Note that you don't have to pay down your good debt until you've passed floor 3. In the penthouse, you're not just amassing wealth for yourself. You're building a multi-generational family office legacy. More on that in chapter 10. Historically, 90% of wealth leaves a family by the third generation. The odds are stacked against you. At this stage, you need to focus on education and strategy and strategically passing down the right relationships to later generations. This helps ensure the longevity of your estate after your passing, more than just squeezing out a few extra million dollars through a few investments, tax, and banking strategies. The floor you choose to stop at is entirely up to you. You can also opt to ascend at a slower pace, so you can smell the roses along the way, based on the quality of life goals and risk tolerances. The higher floor you ascend to, the more you need to safeguard your investments. That means having the right tax, insurance, financial protections, as well as banking strategies to complement your goals. I unveil specific tax and financial strategies in Chapter 7 and tax mitigation strategies in Chapter 8. Your deployment plan. When implementing the wealth elevator system, we find that most clients have to reallocate their portfolio away from traditional investments to alternative investments. But the biggest gains are achieved simply by identifying non-yielding or low-yielding money in their portfolio or their home. We call this lazy money. Let's get started with your deployment plan. Think of your money like an army. Most people have a half million to a couple million in extra lazy equity doing nothing, like soldiers resting at their barracks, drinking beers, and not doing much to help the war effort. So let's say you have a couple million of those soldiers, representing your equity in rental properties, home equity, or low return investments. If you had all 2 million soldiers working for you and making a modest 10% return, you could be earning $240,000 a year, which is $20,000 every month, or $666 a day. That's some serious passive income. A lot of your soldiers or assets aren't doing anything to contribute to your wealth. This creates a disconnect between what you could be earning and what you're actually earning. For those investors below floor 2, it is more imperative you ruthlessly get all your soldiers on the battlefield and working for you. I'll add on to this. A lot of our clients that we see coming in, they're like, show us the deals, right? We want to get access to these cool alternative investments, these country club deals, and make higher returns and then unlock the tax benefits associated with it. And as I kind of mentioned, when we take a look at the holistic profile, we see a lot of just dead lazy equity, usually in their primary residence. And it's not like you need to take a small portion of your portfolio and make 20, 25%, but take the majority of your portfolio and have it be making 5% instead of zero where it's at now. It's just an exercise. But this is the sort of the concept that we're talking about here. The deployment plan. To simplify the process, I have created a deployment plan chart as an example. It outlines the upcoming years on one side and potential sources of investable capital on the other. I recommend that you customize this to your situation and create your own chart. Prioritize investments or cash holdings with the lowest return on equity, a strategy often referred to as the low return on equity witch hunt game. The order is as follows. Number one, net savings from your income minus expenses. The initial focus should be on deploying the net savings accumulated each year. I often call this the heart, sweat, and tears. Many of our investors save anywhere from $50,000 to over $100,000 annually, which is commendable and can help achieve financial goals within a decade. Some of you guys out there are crazy good savers, and oftentimes I may have to rein you guys back and have you say, well, spend some of this on vacation. These savings are ideal for investing in real estate deals, preferably running through our AIB or accredited investor banking system, as the money in savings accounts or money market accounts tends to lose value due to inflation. The second place to get equity to invest is number two, cash on hand. It's advisable to maintain some cash savings as an emergency fund, especially for individuals with their own businesses who may require higher cash reserves. Typically, non-business owner professionals can run with as little as $20,000 to $30,000 in their bank accounts. Our AIB system provides an ideal place to store this cash while earning a stable, tax-free return. Number three, lazy equity in your home. Most investors focus on utilizing the home equity in their primary residence. This equity can be accessed through three main options: a home equity line of credit, known as a cash-out refinance, or a sale of the property and potential transition to renting. New investors lack a lot of deal flow and don't deploy funds as quickly as more experienced investors. So a HELOC can get you going deploying funds for your first 6 to 12 months. It's an attractive option as it incurs minimal fees and only charges interest on the drawn amount via simple interest. However, it may not grant access to the entire equity of the house. Nevertheless, it serves as a convenient starting point for most investors, allowing them to begin investing within a few weeks. Make sure you shop around for the best rates, but focus on not getting bogged down with this. There needs to be a sense of urgency and awareness that for every $100,000 of lazy equity you have, you could be turning it to $10,000 to $20,000 per year. So I often say to maybe scare people a little bit, break that down to what it is per day. A lot of us, we are very frugal deal seekers. I myself even spend an extra 30 minutes here filling up my gas guzzling truck at Costco to save 10 bucks, 20 bucks. But I get it. You want to search for the best HELOC rate, but you got to think about it on the other side, on your opportunity costs, just waiting around. You see a lot of investors spending months doing this where it's just, dude, just get it done. Hey, do the math will tell you what to do. If you're going back and forth on a 0.25% here or there, does it really matter as opposed to just getting the money allocated out there and working for you at a higher rate? The next point here on HELOCs. If you've exhausted your HELOC, a cash out refinance provides access to a greater portion of the home equity. It's worth noting that cash out refinances involve associated fees. Beware that mortgage lenders may increase interest rates to compensate for a seemingly no fee loan. All they are doing is bumping up the rate a bit and removing the fees from the transaction. Tricky, tricky, tricky. The third option, as a last resort, selling the house and transitioning to renting can be considered. But this is generally a drastic measure. I might recommend it after hearing your personal situation if you are on floor 2 or below, but it doesn't happen often, as I am sensitive to the emotional connection people have with their primary residence. But personally speaking, this is what I did. Very early on in my investment career in my 20s, I didn't live anywhere. I was able to save $100,000 a year, and that really put momentum in my favor. Of course, we're going to have to talk about your personal situation, but generally, if your net worth is already above a million, million and a half, you may not have to, quote unquote, pull the goalie and sell your house. You're probably fine. But if you're somebody who doesn't make too much money and under that $1 million threshold, but it may make sense and you may need to sell the house that you're living in and move to renting, like how I did. Now, zooming out a little bit, the fourth section where you may go and find other sources of investable capital is QRPs. Now, this is just a high level call out for 401ks, 403bs, TSPs, which are thrift saving accounts, IRAs, Roth IRAs, and other retirement investment vehicles. While traditional investments like the stock market may not be ideal for those under floor three, they still generate some returns. That's why QRP money is last on the list. There are consequences associated with withdrawing funds from these accounts based on where your current AGI is, or adjusted gross income. Each individual situation varies, and it's essential to assess the personal implications before proceeding. Check out past coaching calls in our education portals for plenty of examples. Your freedom number. Now that you understand the floors of the elevator, which floor are you aiming for? The first step in making that decision is settling on what your monthly passive cash flow number is. How much money feels like freedom to you? Your passive cash flow number is impacted by your family values, your risk tolerance, and even your investment philosophy. Finding that number is a deeply personal process. People often start off thinking they need, say, $85,000 passive cash flow a month. After a few years, especially once they have $5,000 to $10,000 of passive cash flow a month, they realize that they only need $20,000 to be perfectly comfortable. In fact, one year at our annual retreat in Hawaii, we lined everybody up based on their annual expenses out of the entire room. And mind you, there were some pretty heavy hitters there. No one was over $25,000 per month. That said, no one in that room had opted to buy or lease that Ferrari yet. A mentor makes a difference. You may want to look for a mentor, someone who's walked that path half a step before you to help guide your decision. They should have a net worth of 7 to 10 million and understand your situation so that they can give you feedback. That said, when I first started investing in syndications, I did not know anybody who was even accredited. Basically, I didn't have a rich uncle. So don't let that stop you. This is why we have created the only ecosystem with not only informal mentors, but also peers walking this journey with you. I've also dedicated myself to helping you get there. If you don't have a blueprint for your portfolio, you end up making non-strategic investments based on whatever pops up in your inbox or gets shoved in front of your face. A great guideline to help you find the upper limit of your net worth goal is the 4% rule. This is used by a lot of high net worth organizations. It's a rudimentary way of calculating how much a portfolio would cash flow if you were in traditional investments. For example, if your portfolio is $1 million, it's earning 4%, which is $40,000 a year. That means if you take out $40,000 a year, your principal will remain untouched. Working backwards from there, you can ask, how much do I need to live on? That becomes your savings goal, to increase your portfolio to that point. In this type of real estate strategy, your return is likely to be much higher than 4%. Plus, you are sheltering a lot of taxes too. Of course, nothing replaces ascending to that monthly cash flow number, living it and feeling it, what that number is like month after month, talking with other peers and mentors along the way, and tweaking that goal on the way there. I encourage you to read through this entire book before you try to settle on your passive cash flow number. You may find some surprises that change your understanding of your passive income goal. Your cash flow empire starts in the next chapter, as I show you different kinds of rentals and how you can best get out of traditional investments and into alternative investments, not accessible to the general public, for better returns and better tax advantages.